Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Hey, don't be surprised if you head to Genesis Diamonds and see other jewelry store owners there shopping right alongside you, because they'll want to be taking advantage of Genesis' most aggressive offer ever, all GIA diamond engagement rings marked down an extra 20% below Genesis' everyday price. I keep in mind their everyday prices are already the lowest in the market, and now they're taking an extra 20% off. That's right, they've opened the vault. Genesis selling the finest handcrafted diamond rings at rock-bottom prices for a very limited time. The GIA is the world standard in diamond grading, certifying accuracy and documenting quality so you can buy with confidence. Every Genesis engagement ring is included in this event, from a half carat up to 20 carat stones, all shapes, rounds, princess cuts, emerald cuts, cushion cuts, ovals. There's never been a better time to get an extreme value price on a GIA certified diamond perfectly set in a gorgeous engagement ring. Hurry in for the best selection. It's Genesis Diamonds GIA Diamond Extravaganza. Save an extra 20% on these rare precious diamond rings now for a limited time. One per customer, please, exclusively at Genesis Diamonds in Shelby Road Plaza. See store for details. We owe you an apology. We get babbling. It's Nick's birthday, and let him. You know, we don't have, doesn't take much persuasion for us to head down the rabbit hole. So we were yabbering, and so we said that Tim Sullivan is going to join us, but we have Andrea Adelson booked at 1 o'clock, and it's that's when she has to go. So we're going to try and get her on board and see if we can reschedule Tim. I do want to talk to Tim, but we'll see if that's going to play. And I'll be here till 2, and then I've got a split to go try and yabber. I'm going to go be speaking to the Kentucky Electric Cooperatives. They're having their annual meeting here in Louisville, and it'll be my honor to be able to speak with them, and maybe they'll give me some souvenir electricity to take home. Static electricity. Everybody walks up to you at the end to shake your hand. They rub their shoes on the carpet as they come up to introduce themselves so they can create some electricity and get that electric shock. All right. I have a question for Andrea. And that's good, because she's going to join us. Andrea Adelson with us here. I pick my phone up today, doing nothing different than I normally do. I just pick it up, and I'm looking at it. And all of a sudden, these things are crawling across the top of my screen that Andrea Adelson is running a live thing or something, and people are making comments. And what the hell is going on my phone? What was that all about? I felt like you just, I'll be honest with you, I felt a little violated. What was that all about?
Well, the Twitter Spaces bots were doing their job if they were crawling all over your phone alerting you to what we were up to. So my colleague David Hale and I have been doing a weekly Twitter space to talk about the ACC, and today happened to be our last one. Took a while because we were talking about the Coastal, so it got a little chaotic, as one would expect when discussing the Coastal Division, which is probably why you got so many alerts, because we were on for a solid hour and a half.
Nice. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I forgive me. Now, I don't like it because then it makes me feel old. So what the hell is this? What is this? It's Twitter what?
Yes, it's called Twitter Spaces, and essentially it's a live audio stream, right? So a live podcast, essentially. You can go on, if you've got a Twitter account, and
which I do,
post, right, a space and talk about whatever you want and invite guests on or listeners. Anyone who follows you on Twitter can tune in, or people who maybe don't follow you but see the notification crawling on their screen can join. And so this has been a way for David and I to just have a live audio element to enhance what we've been able to do digitally on ESPN.com and really talk about the ACC, you know, throughout the entire off season. So it's been really fun. And we did have an announcement there on the Twitter space that starting next week, we're going to have a 30-minute show on the ACC network that's very similar to the framework of what we've been doing on Twitter space with our personalities, you know, getting the show through and discussing ACC football. So we're really looking forward to that.
So now, once you finish it, is it archived? Can people then go still
yes.
hear it? Or okay, so if you missed it first, you can actually go. Oh, I think I found it. Look at me.
Yep.
I don't even know what the hell
it's
I'm doing.
Archived.
ACC, actually,
yeah.
get it? Actually spell
yeah.
with two
yeah,
C's.
Yeah, get it. Get
yeah,
it.
That's good. That's pretty good. Perfect. Coastal Division yeah. preview.
Yep.
There you go. Why is Bob Ross in the picture?
There you go. Oh, well, David Hale, that's his little Twitter avatar.
Well, that's good, because I love Bob Ross. So you don't
there
have to apologize to me. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Now that you're done with it, now I know about it. So that's good. So that's pretty
But now you have to watch the ACC network to see it on television. So
well,
that's
very good.
Same.
Well, congratulations to you. That's a good deal. So they obviously somebody at the ACC Network said, these kids are doing good work. Why don't we give them a show?
And well, I hope so. As long as we continue to do good work while on television, right? I've got to look presentable, you know. I can't just roll out of bed and click on Twitter. I've got to actually look the part if I'm going to be on camera, right?
Yeah, that's the advantage of just audio stuff. You can do it in
right.
your pajamas.
You know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm sorry for you to have to get dressed, but good luck. I'm sure it'll be great. All right, so let's talk about why did you guys talk so long? What was so much meat on the bone to talk about?
Well, there were a couple of technical difficulties at the beginning, as there generally are. But
sure.
There's a lot of interesting storylines in the Coastal, even though the Coastal is not the strongest division. We had a good discussion about Miami, you know, and where things are with that program and whether the preseason hype should be real or not. You know, good discussion about where things stand with Virginia Tech as a program, also with a new first-year head coach, and whether they can kind of recapture the magic that they had under Frank Beamer. And their coach is a Beamer acolyte, you know, so to speak, coached at Virginia Tech when Frank was there. So good discussion there. Good discussion about North Carolina, you know, picking up the pieces after last season and the fact that we're not talking about them this year, whether that means good things for North Carolina and obviously Pitt, and whether the expectation of Pitt now as being a team atop the Coastal, whether that's sustainable or not without Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison. So good discussion there. We talked about every single Coastal team. I thought really insightful. Georgia Tech, really good discussion with Roddy Jones just about where that program is headed, whether Jeff Collins is on the hot seat and kind of how their aggressive scheduling has hamstrung the program a little bit. So a lot of good insight from folks who cover these teams on a daily basis. And we had one last week previewing the Atlantic Division, which was also really good and insightful. So that's just a little window. That.
Interesting that Wake Forest still, I was curious about this. I'm glad you guys, actually you tweeted it, so good for you for letting people like me know, because I was wondering about this. Wake Forest is ranked 22nd, still in the top 25, despite the news about their quarterback Hartman, but the voters did have the opportunity to adjust their ballots, and they still kept them there. So that was interesting.
I commend that. I had a chance to get the ESPN.com power rankings are coming out here soon. And a bunch of us, submitted a ballot, and it's just like very similar to the AP. You compile the results and you get the ESPN.com top 25. And I did not want to remove Wake Forest from my ballot either. I just feel like having them in there in the preseason is just a nod to not only what they did a year ago, but also who's returning to the team, even without Sam Hartman, because they do have a lot of really good players that are coming back to this team. I will say that on the ACC preseason power rankings, we did adjust those and we moved Wake Forest down a little bit. I view the preseason power rankings just a little bit differently than I do the preseason AP top 25. To me, the preseason poll really should look backwards a little bit in addition to looking forward before the games begin. When I do the power rankings, to me, it's all about projecting forward. And so I know that that might sound a little strange, like why you're using two different measures when you're deciding to rank teams. But power rankings, for me, I just view them slightly differently. So Wake's a little bit further down. We bumped up Louisville in our ACC power rankings, preseason power rankings. They're up on ESPN.com right now. They actually bumped Louisville up to fifth on those preseason power rankings. David and I both feel that this is going to be a strong year for Louisville, and we wanted to account for that in those power rankings.
Wow, well, that certainly is going to be a popular take with the fans here. You know, that it's going to be a step up. They got one vote, Louisville did, in the coaches' poll, I see. They got one measly little vote, as did Florida State. Did they get any in the AP poll? I don't think they did. They did not. The writers, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
So. Yeah, who writers? I mean, come on.
Why are you bullish, to use the stock term, on Louisville?
Yeah, I just think with Malik coming back, he was our first-team All-ACC quarterback, and we've discussed that previously on the show. I put him on my preseason ballot. I won that argument with David Hale because the two of us had to combine forces and come up with a preseason ESPN.com All-ACC team. And, you know, essentially, every defensive assistant that I talked to in the ACC had a consistent thing to say about Malik Cunningham, right? Whereas there were differences of opinion on how good Tyler Van Dyke is going to be this year, how good Devin Leary is going to be this year, how good Sam Hartman pre-injury was going to be this year, how good Brennan Armstrong is going to be, right? But for Malik, there was no difference of opinion, right? Everybody that we talked to thought he's the guy I don't want to have to defend. He's the guy I don't want to have to play against. And so that's what informed the opinion. It wasn't just David and I just trying to go outside the box and pick somebody that was going to, you know, get some clicks. That's not the way that, you know, we approach the job when we start doing the preseason teams. We talk to a lot of coaches and get a lot of input from around the league about where do you think players X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and D are, and then that allows us to make some educated judgments, educated opinions when we put together the preseason team. And so, you know, starting with Malik and the experience, obviously, that he has, I think the fact that they're going to try to rely a little bit less on him in the running game, maybe showcase him a little bit more as a passer, the fact that the offensive line is going to be strong, the fact that I think they're going to be really solid up front, the fact that I think Clark coming back is going to be huge for the defense. I think they're just going to be a better team overall. And maybe, you know, what happened year one kind of skewed the expectation level a little bit for Louisville because they were so good in year one, forgetting that what Scott Satterfield inherited was an absolute train wreck and was going to need more than just 1 year to fix, right? And so I think we saw some of those bumps the last couple. So having said all that, those are some of the reasons why we think Louisville is in line to have a much better year this year, maybe more in line than what we saw in year one.
You know what I'm digging about ESPN.com is that they are using veiled profanity all the time in their comments. I'm liking that. That's getting very much more in line with the way the young kids speak. Like this, I'm reading about while you're talking, because obviously we were talking about quarterbacks and we were talking about Malik. And, you know, this is the kind of, you know, teams will do this in their press guide. They'll take a nice comment from somebody in authority and put it in there and say, so-and-so says, you know, this. And so I'm liking this. This is, you can't give the name because it's said anonymously. An ACC coach said about Malik, he's scary athletically like Jackson, but he can't throw it like Lamar. But he's an athlete. He can beat your ass by himself. And then this one, I'm liking this one too about they're talking about Jordan Travis at Florida State. Tell Adam Rittenberg, I had a way to get with the kids here. Adam quotes an ACC defensive coordinator, and I can't even say it like, you know, I did the other one. Jordan Travis quoting an ACC defensive coordinator, he says, fast as truck. He's a good player, but he's not an NFL quarterback. He is, however, fast as truck. So I think you're going to have to start working some veiled profanity. And if you want to, you know, I'm not giving you career tips. I'm just making an observation.
Maybe we'll save that for the next version of the Twitter space.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Next time you're on Twitter, there you go. But you know, that does speak, though, and you and I have talked about this before. The ACC, I think this is the first time they've had five teams in the preseason, yep. Top 25. And it speaks to the depth at the quarterback position, right? I mean, not only that, but that certainly is a very big contributing factor, right?
Hey, that's a huge contributing factor. There's no question. I mean, the reason Miami is ranked where they are, I think it's 16 in the AP poll. The reason Miami was picked to win the Coastal is because who they have coming back at quarterback, right? I know there's a lot of excitement with Mario Cristobal coming in, but if Miami wasn't returning Tyler Van Dyke, and they were, let's say they played all of last season with De'Aaron King and they were having to start over at quarterback this year, nobody would be picking Miami to win the Coastal Division. I can almost guarantee that. So you look at who they have coming back there. Obviously, you look at who NC State has coming back in Devin Leary. Obviously, with Sam and the unfortunate news there with Wake Forest. So the interesting one to me of all those ranked teams, and I think Miami's a little high, to be honest, to start out this season, a team that was 7-5 and still has a long way to go, is Clemson at number 4. Right, because the thing about Clemson, that indicates to you that there are enough voters, both coaches and AP, had Clemson at number 4, who believe that last season at Clemson was just a little blip, and that they'll be able to return to form, that DJ Uiagalelei will be better than he was last year, and get Clemson to a spot where they can make it into the college football playoff, right? Top 4 indicates you think this is a team with the potential to make it into the playoff. So, what happened a year ago at Clemson, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, because the defense was outstanding, and you guys saw that firsthand, right? With what happened at the end of the Louisville game, Georgia Tech saw that firsthand. A goal line stand there in that game that helped Clemson win. The defense wasn't the issue. It was the offense, right? And so clearly there are enough people who think with a change in offensive coordinator there that things will magically be better for Clemson, that DJ will be better, that they'll have receivers who can get open and catch the ball and make big plays, that the offensive line is going to block better and open up bigger holes, that Will Shipley and the running game are going to be able to recreate some of the things that made them successful when they had Travis Etienne. That, to me, speaks a lot to where Clemson has been as a program that the national voters, and also the ACC voters, by the way, who picked Clemson to win the ACC, think that maybe last year was just one tiny little, okay, you're allowed to go 10-3, but we'll see Clemson back in the playoff this year. That one was the more fascinating ranking, because I did pick Clemson to win the ACC, full disclosure, but I wanted to pick someone else, because I'm just not 100% convinced that DJ Uiagalelei and that receiver group is going to be able to put it all together for them.
Well, they're certainly going to have to be better. There's no question about that. But, you know, there are certain people. My good buddy, the Bear, Chris Felica, says that he thinks that's a good bet right now. He said that, you know, nobody's taken a snap yet. I mean, here we're talking about playoffs. Right. But if you look at the landscape, you got to think Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State are pretty that's, you know, if you were doing a consensus, you certainly would get those three. The fourth spot seems wide open, but he thinks, this is him speaking, the offense will be better and the defense will be great again. And so you can get the Tigers at plus 145 on a betting thing, which is a pretty good price to make the playoff. And if they beat NC State, that price is going to go down quite a bit. And so he's suggesting you take advantage of it now. But you're not that confident that they will be the four. If not them, who then, in your mind, do you think?
I had Utah at number four.
Wow.
And I know that seems kind of wild, but...
Don't they play in the Pac-6 or something? I can't remember where they play.
Pac? I'm actually going to see Utah in week one because they're coming to Gainesville to play Florida, and that's a drive for me. So I'm gonna double dip, actually go to Pittsburgh for that opener on Thursday and then come down back home and drive up to Gainesville. So I'll be able to see whether I'm an idiot or not, whether I'm a dummy or not, firsthand week one, right? Right out of the gate. I feel like that has been a team that has been very typically, underrated. I like who they have coming back at quarterback. I like what they have coming back on defense. Very strong defensive team year in and year out. And because I felt that spot was so wide open this year, because I agree, I think four is completely wide open, I just decided to go with a wild card, because why not, right? I mean, and plus it makes things fun. You know, we see the same teams, generally speaking, over and over. Cincinnati was great to see somebody different make it there in the top four last year. But, you know, I'm all about, let's see something different. Let's see if other teams can make it in there. So Utah was actually the number four team on my preseason ballot. And
nice.
I think I had Clemson somewhere 7 or 8.
Okay, well, we'll see. I mean, like I said, who knows if the first three are even going to play out. But it is an interesting scenario. Even if it does go chalky with the first three, in most people's mind, that fourth spot is kind of wide open. So we should have some interesting matchups even early in the year. Andrea, congratulations on the TV show. Thank you. And we wish you the best of luck with that. And as always, we appreciate you taking a few minutes for us. Thanks.
Well, always great to be on. And happy birthday to Nick. Hopefully you guys win your softball game tonight.
Wow, she is. That's why she's world guest. She's just unbelievable. She's bringing all of you. Even good luck for softball. Who else does that? All right, thanks. Take care of yourself.
All right
bye bye. Yeah, she's good. No, she's good. And speaking of cool things, we got to get this done. We owe this. Our golf tournament, I believe, is sold out. I think. If not, there's one foursome left. I don't know. You'd have to.
There might be.
I
need to talk to the Drive Time folks, because there might be some room in a foursome, and you can have an opportunity to play with Chris.
No, that's what I. If you were going to give me a chance, I was going to get there next. I was going to say.
Oh, okay,
well, we are open.
No, you want to talk about it? That's fine.
Well, we're going to open the auction up right now. Because there might, if you want to be a foursome, if you want to play as a foursome, there might still be one. It was sold out the other day, but I think one foursome had to. No, he sold it. No, so it's still sold out. I forgot. He resold it. So we're still sold out. So if you want to play in this event, it's to raise money in the fight against cancer, the KFOV Cancer Fundraiser, which is always very near and dear to our heart, especially this year because we're starting a new grant in honor of our dear friend Mike Pratt. To fund some research for colon cancer, so we definitely, you know, are very, very much pushing to make as much as we can with this event because we want to make a really nice grant for Mike in Mike's memory and to try and find some of the scientists who can help other people avoid this awful, awful disease. So, but the event is 1 week from today. It's at Standard Club, but we have a very special opportunity for two listeners here, but it's going to go to auction, so hopefully you guys will bid, because this is the kind of thing you just don't get off the street. The event is divided. Everybody in the field plays on one team, either team football or team basketball. Team football's captains are Jacob Tammy and Chris Redman. Team football, I hope I said that. I might have said basketball. Team football are Jacob Tammy and Chris Redman. Team basketball's captains are Luke Hancock and Scott Davenport. So it's a cool format. When you can, we'll tell you about it. If you're playing in it, you probably know already. But if not, it's a match play basically in your own group, and it's just a lot of fun.
Ryder Cup format, right?
It's kind of a modified Ryder Cup. You play six holes. You play alternate shots. Six holes you play as a scramble, and six holes you play your own ball, and you take the better score of the two. You do use handicaps, and you get a point for each of those six hole matches that you win. So there's 3 points on the line in each foursome, and you try and get three for the basketball side or three for the football side. And if you win, you get a bigger prize, and if you come in second, you get a smaller prize. That's what it comes down to. But the big prize is we raise money for cancer. But we're going to give two listeners a chance to play in the foursome with Chris Redman and Luke Hancock. Now, they're both good golfers, and you don't get this chance every day. So if you want to, we're putting it open for auction for two people, though. You got to bid for both people, so get a friend, and you'll be playing against each other, which is kind of fun. You get your friend. One of you will play with Redman. One of you will play with Hancock, and you will know all that money will go right in the fight against cancer. So we're going to take bids at Nick's email address. So it's now somebody was. I know people listen to radio. It's on until you're at work, and then all of a sudden you say, "Well, what did he just say? Wait, what? I can play with who? I can play with Hank? Wait a minute. What did he say? I don't know what he said. What did he say?" So now I'll repeat it again because now somebody's actually listening rather than just having it on in the background. You can play in our golf tournament a week from today. Two of you can play in the foursome with Luke Hancock and Chris Redman. One of you will play as Hancock's partner. One of them will play as Redman's partner. And you're playing for team basketball or team football. The event is sold out, so we can't get any more foursomes in, but we can get two more players in. But it's going to go to the twosome that bids the most because it's a fundraiser to raise money in the fight against cancer. So if you want to bid for this, then please send us bids at nickv@ESPNLouisville.com. Okay? That's where the email goes. nickv@ESPNLouisville.com. And if you got a friend, you can play next Monday, then get in there. And it's this doesn't come around every day. You can't just pick up the phone and call these guys and say, "Hey, can I play in a foursome with you guys?" To play with one of them would be great fun. To play with both of them is going to be even better. And you're going to be in a little match. So it's going to be a really cool day. So if you want to bid on it, do it now, and we'll try and update the bidding, sometime early in the middle of the week. But get a bid in now, because if two people bid the same, the first bid is going to get the advantage, so you don't want to wait. And so send us your bids at nickv@ESPNLouisville.com, and we'll get that. Technically, it's, I guess, our last foursome filled out, but we got two players in it already, Redman and Hancock. So two more players in there will round that out, and then the whole field will be set, and hopefully we'll get a day as dry as this one today, next Monday. That would be special as we raise money in the fight against cancer. So if you want to bid, again, third time, the tournament is a week from today. It's noon. Get there and register and get your get set up, get your gift stuff, and there's a celebrity putt-putt tournament to start, and we've got box lunches for everybody, and then there's food served afterwards from our great friends at Martin's Barbecue, so you get a nice hot meal afterwards. And if you want to play, this is your last chance because the event is sold out. Two people can play in a group with Chris Redman and Luke Hancock. One of you will play with each of them. And if you want to do that, get your bids. We're going to auction these last two spots off at nickv@ESPNLouisville.com. Send your bids there, nickv@ESPNLouisville.com. So hopefully you'll take advantage of that and want to play with these guys. We'll all be out there. All of us, the three-headed Valvano monster, the big-headed producer, and Jamie, who's now working as our executive director of the Kentuckiana Friends of V, who's done a masterful job of putting this thing together, to be honest with you. He's done great, and Nick's done great selling some teams, and we're going to have a great event. If the weather cooperates, please cooperate. That we don't have any control over, but hopefully we'll have a nice day. So if you want to play, please get a bid in to our email address for Nick, nickv@ESPNLouisville.com, and you can be part of our golf tournament next week. That's going to be fun. So
that'll be awesome. That. Yeah. nickv@ESPNLouisville.com. Let me know.
What are we doing? We Sully's going to join us at 1:30?
Yeah, Sully's joining us on the other side.
Very good. All right, so we'll take a break, then Sully will join us. And make sure I'm here before you come back, please. You know what that means?
So, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not going to the bathroom, though, strangely. That's not what it is, but I don't
know. I know you got a little, let's be honest, it's a Monday. You got a dupe. You got burn one down. I get it. That's, Monday well,
I hope
dupe.
The,
well, Monday
I hope the dupe. People. I hope the people from Kentucky, the Kentucky Electric Cooperative, are listening. Thinking the guy, our speaker's going to show up stoned later. This is going to be great. He's going to be
a little sticky achy on Monday.
I just am so excited to be here because when I was a kid, I used to love the Electric Company. It's so nice to be here with you guys.
Just start singing.
Just start singing songs. Can we do some of the songs?
What's
the
Electric Company theme song?
Any of the actors here? They told me the actors would be here. They lied. And they start swearing. They just yank you off the stage.
I don't know what type of weed you're getting that's making you mad.
People react differently. That's all right, we'll be back. Stay with us. Tim Sullivan going to join us next. ESPN 680 1057.
You're listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 1057. Now, here's Bobby V.
I was going to ask because I thought, he's lost his position at the Courier Journal, and then I was going to say he's lost his walk-up music too. Where was Rhapsody in Blue?
Well, I didn't have Sully yet, so
That's the point. I understand that now. So it makes sense. Any interesting birthday greetings? You're just getting happy birthdays.
A lot of whoa, from J-Law. What? Wow. We share the same birthday.
She didn't send you that.
And I like your misshapen facial hair.
She's married, the kid, so you really know you're
kidding.
Being proper.
I am completely
but I didn't even know she was married.
1,000% kidding. Yeah, no, happily married, and yeah, I think she gave birth to her first child last year, I believe. So good for J-Law. One of Louisville's finest, along with Larry O'Bannon.
Why do you have an African-American man riding a shark?
Because it was the funniest GIF I could find for birthday stuff that hadn't already been sent to me.
There's a cut. He's very muscular, and he's sitting there in his bathing trunks, and he's got a balloon in his left hand, and he's riding a dolphin, I think.
Yeah, and the dolphin is pooping out rainbows.
Oh, I see. I missed that part.
And I could not think of anything more fitting than
we went to the aquarium. You know what it's called? The Newport Aquarium yesterday reminded me we saw the dolphins. There were no dolphins there. They didn't have dolphins, did they? No, they didn't have any dolphins. They did have sharks, though. They had sharks. And we were trying to figure out what was our favorite part of it. There's so many fish, so many different types of fish. It's hard for me to get really worked up about That's a needle nose winkle walker or something, because I don't know what they are.
One of the funniest names I saw was the black crappie. I just thought that was...
You enjoyed that, did you?
It's just, the crappie. What type of... maybe there's other colored crappies. A red crappie, a black crappie, a yellow crappie. I thought that was kind of funny.
The penguins are worth the price of admission. They are too adorable.
Oh yeah,
just
I could seriously stay and watch the penguins all day. Say hi to the sea turtle. Say hi to a couple of the other fishes. I was a big fan of the poison dart frogs. That was my favorite animal as a kid. So whenever we were doing the little 5-year-old thing of what's your favorite animal? I like a dolphin. I like a doggy. And I was like poison dart frog, and they were like, get that kid on a list. That kid, yeah, we need to watch him.
That explained why we got a lot of phone calls at home.
Yeah, but they just were so pretty, and the fact that they also could kill people. I like that. Not the killing people part, but just the fact that they were really they looked really cool. And I was a river frogs fan. That's kind of where it came from. So yeah. So I thought that.
Have
was
you seen?
Cool.
This is Mike Eye's kind of humor. This guy gets people, they send him pictures, and they ask him to Photoshop it. And then he literally, does what they ask, but it makes the picture much worse. Like there's this picture of a guy kissing his girl, and she has her eyes wide open as he's kissing her. And it makes the picture really kind of ruined. It's a great picture otherwise. They're, I don't know whether they're in front of a castle. I don't know if it's Disney or a real castle or what the hell it is. But he sent it to the guy and he said, "Hello, James, can you please close my girlfriend's eyes in this picture? Thank you." And he sent it back with a guy photoshopped holding his hand over her eyes. He does that all the time. They're hilarious. I think he's in England, is he? Yeah, he's a graphic designer from England. And he takes photo alteration requests on Twitter, and then he you know, he just does not. He does what they ask, but it doesn't. It's not remotely like what they want. Like this woman is. And it's a really nice picture of her. So she obviously wanted the picture, but she wanted to make it look like she was in a much cooler place. She's just standing in front of a lake or something. It says, can you make me look like I'm in a really cool place, not a lake in the background? He put her in the refrigerator. she's covered with non-defrosted ice everywhere.
Who is this guy?
His name is James. You've never seen him. He's hilarious. He's the Photoshop troll. His name is James Fridman.
He's on Twitter?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. There's
another one where this girl says, hey, can you, she's, it's a nice, again, people are always asking because they got a nice picture, but there's something about the background that bugs them or something. So this woman is, says, hey, James, can you add a bag on my right hand? She's standing there and she's, you know, got her left hand up by her shoulder and she wants to have a bag on her right hand. So He put a trash bag over her shoulder and makes it look like she's approaching the garbage bin. Where behind her is this disgusting garbage bin overflowing with plastic bags. He said, sure, not a problem. The guy's hilarious. It's really funny. There's oh, man.
I'm tagging you on Twitter, this thing. By the way, Sully's going to have to reschedule to tomorrow. I just
all right. Well, I'm sorry. But this is a funny one. This couple, I guess they just got married. They definitely just got married. She's in her bridal gown, and there's the guy. And they're standing in their tent, you know, where the wedding was. And right in front of the bride, unfortunately, is a pole holding up the, you know, one of the support poles for the tent. And it says, hi, can you remove the pole in front of me? The woman says. So he writes, sure. And the next picture is just the ground with the tent collapsed. It's just they're completely out of the picture altogether. And he's just got the tent collapsed. I mean, this guy's a riot. Really funny. Very, very funny. So
there's a big fan of his. I don't know if there's a whole Twitter page for it, but it's if you type in hashtag birds with arms, it's become a thing. I thought it was a Twitter page, but people have photoshopped arms on birds, and they are hilarious. Like I'm tagging you on Twitter for a couple of these. There's all right. One. It's like a swan getting chased like a duckling. And it looks like they got into like a little spat, and the guy attached like boxing gloves to it, and the little duckling has a hammer, and he's chasing the swan around, and at one point the swan like kind of like nips at the duck and then runs around like it's Ali with its arms up in the air celebrating. I mean, these things they're hilarious.
But these are not. That's not one guy. These are just people who do it themselves and then put it on this. They tag it this way.
I swear there was a Twitter page. It's my buddy Birdie. No pun intended. Showed it to me, and I can't remember the name of the page. But if you just type in birds with arms, they are laugh out loud funny. There's one that looks like a pigeon's doing push-ups.
That's the one with the guy. He looks like he's playing. I don't know birds. I don't know trees. I don't know fish. It's some sort of a blackbird, and he's playing guitar. He's playing guitar. Very funny. Now, this is what Twitter was made for, not the stupid stuff that's out there. This is damned amusing.
Exactly.
Very nice. Very good. But check out the guy, the Twitter.
What's his name again?
James Fridman, the Photoshop master. He is...
James Fridman. Okay.
Yeah. It is the notorious, I believe. Let me see if I can find out.
Another Twitter follow.
Bettermanly.com. I don't know if that's his site or that's a guy linking to him. I don't know. But you can try bettermanly. I don't know what comes up. Check that one out first, and if that's not it, I'll see if I can find the right one.
There's another Twitter thing you definitely need to follow. It's called T-Shirts That Go Hard. And some of them are not radio appropriate, but some of them are absolutely pee your pants funny. T-Shirts That Go Hard. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Here we go. T-Shirts That Go Hard. I can't read that one on the air.
I'm sure I have a bit. If they go hard, I bet you many of them you can't read on the air.
Yeah. No, they're. I can't find the damn page, but I mean, there's. Oh, man. I'm torpedoing the show. I'm sorry.
Here's the guy's. He's got 2.1 million followers, so that should give you an idea. And he says, do not submit any photos that you do not want made public. But to me, it's laugh out loud funny. And he's really good. His Twitter handle is F like Frank. It's at F like Frank Jamie, just like Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, 013. His name's James Fridman. F Jamie, 013. And I imagine this one says, James, my sister-in-law's face looks like she is scared and her arm is about to fall off. Can you make her look more natural in this photo? So there's three women standing around, and she does. She's got her left arm at this crazy position, and her face is all contorted. I don't know what they're looking at, but it's three women around. What he did is he put a pool table in front of them. It looks like she's shooting pool. It's hilarious. Oh, my God. He's talented guy. Very, very funny. Very good stuff. We're going to have to send him one and see if he'll...
That would be awesome.
Just to have him pick one must be quite an achievement, because, I mean, he must get 10,000 a day.
Some of these shirts I can't read, but there's one. It's an older gentleman, and it's on the back of his shirt. It says, hold my beer while I kiss your girlfriend.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's the going strong T-shirt thing.
Yeah, shirts that go hard. Some of these are wildly inappropriate, but if you read them, they are pee your pants funny.
It's a guy. I don't know whose picture this is, his or he wants to use a picture that he's not supposed to because it's got a photo doc. You know they do that. They watermark a picture so that you can't just use it, you know, without paying the rights for it. So it's a picture of a guy. He's in just a guy. He's in a suit. He's got a, you know, red tie, light blue shirt, and across the goes right across his chin says photo doc. And he said, hi, James, could you please remove this watermark? So he did, but basically he removed the lower third of his face. So his face is just in his collar. His collar's up to his nose. I'm telling you, it is so worth the time to see this. This guy's, I mean, he's got to be good at Photoshop, too, or it wouldn't be funny, but he's just really good.
I sent you, I DM'd you one that there's no way you can read on the air, but at some point at your leisure, read it, and it's hilarious. But there's one, the shirts that go hard, eat spaghetti to forget your regretty. Oh, man. Oh, these are awesome. I'd rather be sinning.
Telling you, of all the things I've told you guys to check out here, though, this one is as good as any. If you've not seen this guy, at FJamie013 on Twitter, at FJamie013, I'm just looking at these, and I can't help but laugh out at all of them. It's hysterical. And you got to be, I mean, I've never done Photoshop, so I don't know how hard it is, but you got to be good, because to make these things, they look seamless, and it just, he literally does what they ask him to do, just obviously not the way that they intended, and it's a
Seriously,
riot.
These are incredible. This one. There's a photo of all these girls and friends taking a party photo. Mm-hmm. And she asked, can you please remove the hand that's over my boob in the middle? Like, he's not grabbing it. It's just like, right. Yeah. And so what he did is he just moved her.
Moved her breast?
Moved her chest down like 18 feet. So she looks like a 200-year-old woman.
This is good. This one says, hi, James. Huge fan of your work. I was wondering if you could help remove the glass in front of me. Kind of makes me look clumsy. She has a glass of a mixed drink. So he's removed the glass, and what was in the drink, he spilled all over the bar in front of her. So she's sitting there with just a lime and all this you know, bourbon-looking liquid or whatever the hell is the colored liquid all over the counter. Very, very good.
Oh, man. I just saw the one of the guys standing behind her. That's funny. I was wondering if you could edit out the stair/rail pole from this photo. I love your work. And he changed it so it looks like she's holding a water jug just from the spout, and it's pouring all over her shoes.
He's good. I, you know, have you ever done Photoshop? He must be pretty good, because This is amazing stuff.
I did very barely. It was barely considered Photoshop. It was like a desktop design class for, as part of my comm major. And as part of my comm major in college. And I mean, it is really hard and time consuming. So the fact these guys are this good.
Can you get me and my boyfriend closer together, James? The kind stranger who took the photo of us had us stand apart so he could get the tree in the shot. There's a tree between them, but they're standing, you know, far apart, like they barely know each other. So he took the picture and he put her inside his shirt. So he's standing there, the both of them are inside his white T-shirt. They're just
That's hilarious.
Oh, God. Funny. Very, very funny.
Sorry, I just got a text about something else. Let's see here. Do you want to play? I have the sound for it. We didn't really play a ton of it. There was a little bit of it in the Menage montage.
Okay.
But let's see here. I want to pull this up. A little bit of this was Stoops' kind of response talking about staying in your lane and everything. It's a little bit of a longer cut. But yeah, that one's a little too long. But let me use this one instead. Sorry. This is the one I wanted. It was in the Menage montage, but the audience turns over. This is one of the juicier bites from Stoops talking about whether or not him and Cal have sat down and hashed this thing out.
Have you and Cal talked since?
No.
Mark, I can't see you wasting a lot of time on social media like we do, and
John
you Wong. Posted so quickly after those comments came out. How did you find out about it?
It was pointed out to me. I really try to stay off there for that very reason. anything, and you know, I'm done. I'm done. I addressed it. You know, again, I will defend my players, and the staff, and the people, and the Big Blue Nation. I will defend the people that sacrificed. I've said it to you how many times? I know how difficult it is to come to these games, how expensive it is, how hard it is to get into the stadium, the parking, you know, the 60,000 people, you know what I mean? It's tough, and it's a fantastic atmosphere, and I cannot thank them enough, and we want to continue to see that. That's what I defended. I don't need to defend Mark.
Mark, you've had some really good recruiting classes the last couple years.
No, cut off there at the end there. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, my bad. I didn't realize that was the more raw cut of them. I actually trimmed one up a little bit later. But nonetheless, I don't want to be looking too much into this and sports radioing too hard, but the whole, not placation, but kind of reaching out to the fans, talking about that, was Stoops kind of trying to play the everyman card a little bit there, to garner a little sympathy? What was the meaning behind that? Or am I sports radioing too hard?
No, I think that you're not sports radioing too hard. I think he's trying to make what's coming across, no matter how you want to try and package it, as a personal thing. I mean, that's how people are perceiving it. Oh, it's Cal versus Stoops. So, and to some degree, there's some of that in there. While that may not even have been, I will even, you know, grant you, that wasn't Cal's intent to make it a personal thing between he and Stoops. That's how it was perceived. So now Stoops felt strong enough about it that he wanted to respond, but I don't think he had any interest in trying to throw fuel on the fire and make it sound like, oh yeah, well now it's you and me, pal, let's go throw down. So what he did is he made it sound like, well, I'm responding because it's worthy of a response, but I'm responding on behalf of all these people. I'm responding on behalf of the fans, on behalf of my players who put in the time and helped us go forward to where we've gotten to this point, on behalf of my staff, and on behalf of himself. But you leave yourself out of it so it doesn't turn into a personal thing. You know, do you hear what Cal said? Oh, yeah. Do you hear what Stoops said? Oh, yeah. And then it goes back and forth with just the two of them. But there's no question that that's how it came out at the beginning, whether the media created that more than it was or not. I mean, there was some element of that. There's not much debating about that. I mean, that when he said it, by Cal's own admission, he didn't say it well. Now, whether or not he knew he was going to get pushback and then he knew he would backtrack, it was worth it for him because he wants to bring this practice facility topic front and center, and this was the way to do it. And, you know, I don't know. But he did say it so that it came across a lot more personally than I would say he really didn't mean to make it sound that personal. I really do, because you know why? Because Cal doesn't do anything without an end game in sight. And his strategy is very simple. He wants the damn practice facility. And so by saying it the way he said it, it turned it into a mano a mano between him and Stoops, and that's not going to help him get the practice facility built. So I think he's telling the truth when he said, I didn't say it the way I wanted to. What he wanted to say was, hey, all these people here are getting stuff built, and that's great, but, you know, basketball is the premier program here in terms of the attention that it's gotten for the university, and I can't get any traction with this thing. But it came across as, all you other poor little peons over there, you know, and you know, I deserve this because I'm better than the rest of y'all. And that obviously is not going to sit well with any other coach. Now, it wouldn't have sat well with any of the other coaches if he'd mentioned them specifically. But he mentioned football. And he mentioned football in a league where, you know, football is God. Football is king. Football is the be-all and end-all. So, yeah, I mean, it was – you know, people have said – people who like one coach more than the other have responded – you know, differently based on that bias. And so the people who love Cal, they said, well, Stoops didn't have to, you know, he's the one that made it personal. He came out and, you know, when he responded. But I'll be honest, how could you not respond to that? I mean, then you know, you just really do sound like you're just the puppy, the little lapdog for
red-headed stepchild.
Not even that, just the kind of the lapdog, like whatever Cal says goes, yep, fine with me, that's fine with me. And so he deserved now he made it. He added to the fire because he said we weren't born on third base, meaning that when you take a job at Kentucky, I mean, everybody has succeeded there with the exception of probably Billy Clyde, you know, has succeeded at huge in big ways, Final Fours, national championships.
And I have that soundbite if you'd like to hear it.
Okay.
I don't care what anybody says about their program. That's not my business. That's not my lane. But when you start talking about my program, and others that we compete against, I mean, me, I don't do that. I stay in my lane. And, you know, so that's in defense of my players, the defense of the work that we've done. And believe me, we want to continue to push. But don't demean or distract from the hard work and the dedication and the commitment that people have done to get to this point. Again, I don't need to apologize for that. I won't. But we want more. And we want to continue to push that. But there are so many people, so many fans, so many coaches, so many players that have sacrificed so much to improve at the level we've improved at. And listen, we all know this program wasn't born on third base. You know, so some may, but I could promise you this football team didn't wake up on third base. I did a lot of work. We did a lot of work. The commitment from the Joe Crafts and the so many different people, and Mitch and Dr. Barnhart, you know, or Dr. Capiluto, so many people have done so much that you have to have a respect and appreciation for. We all want more.
Well, so there you go. And so now that added to it, but you can feel he felt very strongly about it, and I don't blame him. I mean, it's been a battle. I know how hard it was to build programs, you know, from teams that have been losing to winning at small college basketball level. I can only imagine what it's like to do it in the SEC when it comes to football. And then to feel like the guy's just dismissing what you've done with the back of his hand. Yeah, so he responded. And I said, you know, I understand Cal's motivation, but I do think he misspoke. And he said it as well. So we'll see. You know, we'll see where it goes from here. It should die a news cycle death here shortly. It should. But we'll see. They got to get back. There'll be one more item in the news cycle. When Cal gets back, I guess they're back now, he's at some point going to have to talk to Stoops. And word will come out that they talked and, you know, they kissed and made up and everything's fine. So anyway, we'll see where that goes from there. All right, I'm out because I'm going to get ready to try and not fall on my face.
As you get out of here, Patty Ice and I'll take you down the stretch. We'll replay Andre Adelson at 2:40. Little bit of a gas bag starting lineup too. But text to get out of here. F Jamie sounds like a website Nick came up with.
That's good. That's good. All right, everybody. Well, unless you know something I don't, we'll see you tomorrow here on The V Show. You guys have fun with Nick and Ice going down the stretch, and we'll see you tomorrow on ESPN 680 1057.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.